just thank you today, Lord, that you're speaking to us through your word. And we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit who is here today. And we pray, Lord, that you will impart tremendous grace, Lord, into each heart here and in each person that is a member of this church. We pray that you'll enable us all to enter into this season of grace, to understand what grace is and how the anointing of your grace upon our lives enables us to do your work in your way. So, Father, open our eyes and cause us to put our faith, Lord, today in your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to turn to 2 Samuel. That's in the Old Testament, by the way. 2 Samuel chapter 5. When did you last read Samuel? I hear you asking the question, where is Samuel, perhaps? Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Liz was reading this morning, apparently, so fantastic. Now, this morning I'm going to talk about God's grace anointing. God's grace anointing. There's a series that we're doing now on grace, and I want us to, I believe the Lord wants us to understand what grace is. So before we launch off into this, anyone like to hazard a guess? Think of some words that would describe what grace is. Just pull out. What is grace?
Love.
Well, grace comes out of love, for sure. Sorry? Giving us what we don't deserve. That's a very good definition of grace. God giving to us what we don't deserve. That's grace. Two things there. The first thing is giving. Grace is always something. When I think of the word grace, I always think of something that's been given. Grace and giving go together. And so grace is something God gives to us, and it's something that we definitely don't deserve. Amen?
Amen.
What else can we say about grace?
Favor.
That's a good word to describe grace. It's favor. God shows us his favor. It's undeserved. Walking under his covenant of love.
Amen.
What else? It's unmerited. Unmerited. Ability. That's very good. That's a very good definition. It's God's supernatural ability. That's his grace. Supernatural ability or enabling. Now, what about anointing? Sorry. Mercy. There's lots of things that come out of this incredible subject of grace. Now, God has given to us his grace, and he's given to us blessed. What else does the word anointing mean? God's presence, God's spirit, God's covering. You're grateful. The anointing makes you grateful. Gifting, pardon? The outpouring of his spirit, set apart. These are all things that the anointing does, yeah? Equipping. The anointing is the equipping of God. What else? Power. The anointing carries the power of God.
Wisdom.
Wisdom. The anointing releases the wisdom of God. The giving of what he wants you to do comes out of that anointing. Yeah, prophecy and anointing very often will go together, prophetic anointing.
Yeah.
Authority. You see, once you start digging into these words carry meaning. And we need to understand what the word means and what its purpose is to do. And we're talking about God's grace anointing that's been given to us this morning as believers. And that grace and that anointing has been given to us for a purpose, hasn't it? Now, I want to talk first of all, you know, one of the things we read about in the anointing, you know, in the Old Testament, the word anointing means to rub with oil. Now, you ladies will know that sometimes you'll rub moisturizer cream on your hands. Is that right? Do some of you ladies do that? And on your face? Another, you know, part of your body, you rub the oil or that. Isn't that right, Christine?
I'm just checking out, making sure that you're doing the right things. And but what happens is, as you rub it, what happens to it? It soaks in. It's absorbed into your skin, isn't it? And in the same way, the anointing in the Old Testament, when you read that word, and in the New Testament, that word means to rub in. But it doesn't just kind of anoint that goes on the surface. It's something that actually saturates and begins to get in on the inside of you. Anointing. That's what the anointing means. That's why the anointing oil was poured out, because it didn't just go on the surface, but it soaked into a person. It represented the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. And when we got born again, God, by His grace, forgave us our sins. When we repented, He forgave us our sins. And He came into our lives, gave us resurrection life, and He anointed us with the Holy Spirit. We got baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a real experience. And when that came, the anointing filled us and flooded, and we got totally saturated with His presence. Amen. So that's what the anointing is. It's God's Spirit literally saturating you in order that you can do His will and do His purpose. And he gives us the anointing by His grace. We don't deserve it, that's for sure. And that grace is very, very powerful. I want us to talk for a few minutes about David. And in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2 here, we're thinking about God's grace anointing, and then we're going to talk about how it affects us and how it works for us. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and spoke, saying, "Indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel.'" Now David was called as a young lad. In fact, like you, he was called before you were even born. And the calling of God on David's life came at an early age. And the first anointing that came upon David before he became king of Israel was the anointing came upon him when he was a shepherd boy. I don't know if you remember that, if you read about David. The anointing came upon David when he was a shepherd boy, when he was serving, watching over his father's sheep, doing very mundane, ordinary things. But that's when the anointing started to come upon him. And God began to release him in a very practical sense in his life, so that he'd begin to exercise those gifts and the anointing that was in his life there, out there in the fields with the sheep. And that's what then he killed the lion and he killed the bear. And he did it by the grace of God. Do you see what I'm saying? That God takes us where we are and he anoints us. And so David, his first level of anointing as a shepherd boy was there. And the word of God was spoken over him. Prophetic words will often come at that time of anointing. And if you think of your own life, when you got born again, that first level, if I can put it that way, of God's anointing came upon you. And you begin to get a sense of destiny, a sense of where God wants to take you, a sense of his plan for your life. And there's a grace and there's an anointing that God is wanting you to begin to believe in and to experience and to put into practice, put into work. And this is what David did. And there's some principles here about anointing that I believe God wants us to take hold of, which will explain sometimes why we get stuck. And God, with David was a very faithful servant. Just say servant. It's a lovely word, servant. We're all servants. We're all servants this morning, servants of God. We're servants of one another. And we're serving a lost world with the gospel. And David was a servant before he ever became a king. But he had a servant heart for the whole of his life. And as David exercised with the anointing and the grace that was upon his life as a shepherd boy, he began to do unusual things where he was. Do you agree?
Amen.
He displayed unusual courage, unusual faith, and nothing got him down. The reason for that, this was not natural ability. David at an early age was learning how to live in the supernatural grace of God and his anointing. And as we recognize the anointing that God has put upon us, we recognize the anointing gives us the authority of Jesus. All of us in this room this morning, we are anointed because we've received the Spirit of Jesus, haven't we?
We have the anointing from the Holy One. But it's one thing to be anointed, and it's another thing to use that anointing in the sphere that God has given to you. Does this make sense? And so with that authority that God gives to you, and if you're making notes, you'll find this helpful, is God gives you, first of all, he gives you the anointing of the Holy Spirit with his, by his grace, and he gives you authority. He gives you authority as a believer. And as you go on as a believer, he begins to give you authority over areas in your life, and sometimes areas over other people's lives. He gives you authority. Amen. And with that authority, he gives you influence.
Amen.
For the kingdom. Are you with me?
Amen.
And with the influence, he gives you territory. He gives you actual areas that you possess. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not necessarily talking about land or houses, but I'm talking about spiritual territory that God begins to give to you in your faith. And with the territory, he gives you power.
Amen.
He gives you power. And with that dynamic power of God in your life, you begin to reign. And you reign in and with the victory of Jesus living in you.
Amen.
This is what the anointing will do. And if you look at David's life, let's just read a couple more verses and we'll see this, that verse 3, therefore all the elders of Israel, this is 2 Samuel 5, therefore all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign. It's interesting, you know, that Jesus was 30 years old when he began to exercise his public ministry. And David reigned for 40 years as king over Israel. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. Judah was an area. Judah was territory. Judah was a region as well as a tribe. And David was given this, this area to rule over. And he ruled in Jerusalem. He reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. So David, first of all, he was anointed as a shepherd boy. So if you regard that as the first at the beginning, that's what he began to exercise his faith in God, and he began to grow in God. He began to exercise his authority as a shepherd boy. He'd received the prophetic word of God that it was going to go much further than just being a shepherd of sheep. And David began to have an influence. David began to take territory. David began to release power. There was power in his life, power from God. And David really knew what it was to reign in life. Remember when he went down and defeated Goliath? That's a pretty good example of reigning. That he knew how to kill the giant when everyone else was in fear. David was in courage and in faith. And so David was reigning in victory. And the second anointing that came upon David's life, he's in good voice this morning, was Judah. That David was given a rule and reign over the region of Judah, the tribe of Judah. That was his next step up. And David received an anointing. Samuel was the prophet, and he'd come and he anointed him, spoke the prophetic word over David's life. And the second particular anointing that came upon David was to rule and reign over Judah. Because of David's obedience to God, he was able to move on, if you like, into the next level, into the next area of influence that God had for him. And David began to rule and reign over Judah. He exercised the authority God had given to him. He exercised his influence in Judah, as the leader in Judah. He gained territory. He began to reign over a whole area there. And he had power to do it from God. This was all by God's grace. But if we don't allow the grace of God to work in us, we can frustrate the plans of God in our lives and short-circuit the very thing that God has called us to do. This makes sense. We have to understand what grace is and the way that grace works in our lives, and the way that the anointing has been given to us, because, you see, David's character mattered to God. His character was very important to God. Not just his gifting, but his character. And you'll find in your own life, we'll find here in the church, we're all at perhaps a different point, a different place this morning, but I guarantee that God is still working on all of our characters,
And he has giftings that he's given to us, and they are distinct, they are very different. Your gifting and your character can be completely different. You have someone greatly anointed to heal the sick who's got a rotten character. You can have someone who can do miracles, and character-wise, they're way off. They can be way off beam in the way that they actually live. And God will allow that for a season because of his grace.
Amen.
See, your gifts, the gifts that God's given to us and our callings are by his grace. Our character is what we have to obey God in. Our character is what we need to work out by the grace of God. And character and gifting, when they work together, is a bit like going up a ladder. That you need both sides of that ladder to get up. You need some rungs as well. They're steps. But if you take away one side of the ladder, you haven't got a ladder that you can climb. And character and gifting go together. God's very interested in your character this morning. What he's producing of the character of Christ in you. Because he knows that if you don't allow the grace of God to work in you to form the character of Christ in you, then you can't fulfill the other part of your life, which is the release the gifting in the proper way. Character and gifting go together, in tandem together. This makes sense.
Amen.
Now God has given us his grace for our character, and he's given us grace for the gifting as well, for those particular things that God has asked you and me to do. And he's anointed us for the work. He's anointed us. Now the third area that David took, or the third, David was ruled over Judah for 7 years, and then he was anointed again. So David is progressively moving forward. Are you? Are you moving forward?
I am, yes.
In God's anointing?
Yes.
Are you moving forward in the things that God has called you to do? And are you moving forward in your character in Christ Jesus? Because I want to encourage you today that the grace of God will do it. There's an impartation of grace that God is giving to us as believers. And there's a grace that God's giving to us as a church that will enable us, as we take hold of that grace and put God's word into practice, you'll find that the anointing will greatly flow through us as a body. Amen?
Amen.
There's a grace there for us. And the third level of anointing for David was, we read about it, was he was made king over Israel. And David began to experience again, under this anointing, as when Samuel prophesied and prayed over David and he was anointed, the Spirit of God came upon him and he was given that anointing. So he was given authority over the whole of Israel to be king over Israel now, including Judah. He was given greater influence for the Lord. He was given greater territory for the Lord. Are you getting something out of this? God has wanted to do this for all of us. And David was given power from God to reign in his victory and to establish his reign in that area that he'd given to him. Now, God has given to us in this room this morning many things. I was thinking this morning as I was praying for us as a church, there's thousands, probably thousands of ministries, different gifts and ministries that are even here in this hall this morning. Potentially, there's thousands of ministries and giftings that we have as a whole church. And God has given us grace, the Spirit of grace, and the Spirit of his anointing to enable us to do what we cannot do ourselves. That's the whole point of it. God's grace, God's undeserved favor, that power of his favor upon our lives will give us an ability to do what we cannot do in our own strength. If you can do what you do in your own strength, then that's all it is. It's just you doing it in your own strength. But if you step out and start doing things that you cannot do naturally, humanly speaking, but you're depending upon the Spirit within you, then God will release the Holy Spirit's anointing through you and you'll touch other people's lives.
Amen.
But there has to be a stepping out. And this is what David did. This is why David moved from one anointing to the second anointing and then to the third anointing. I'm just using this as a very good biblical example of how God wants to do things in your life. As you're obedient over a period of time and you draw from the grace of God and understand what the anointing has been given for you to do for him. And as you're obedient in it, there will come a time when God will move you up and extend your territory for God. He'll say, you've been faithful in this, now I'm going to give you this. And here's the anointing to do it with, because you're going to need my anointing. And God wants us as a church to also to come up into a new sphere of grace and anointing.
Amen.
As a body, as a church, Amen. I'm talking about. Now just come with me, please, to
Let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. We looked at this a little bit last week, but I want to just go back there just for a few minutes. While you're going there, let me just say this, that the anointing of God on your life will come under an attack. The devil hates anointed men and women of God and young people and children who are anointed. He hates anointing. He hates anointing because he recognizes it's the presence of God. He hates anointed churches, and he hates anointed believers who are living in that anointing. And so what the devil will do, he'll try and attack and try and resist you and stop you in your tracks. This is what he did with David. We haven't got time to look in it, but if you continue to look in 2 Samuel 5 that we're reading, you'll find that David was under an attack because of his anointing, because of his responsibility that he'd been given. And David was given instructions from God. He sought God, he waited upon God, and he asked God what his instructions were, how to defeat the enemy. And in both instances, God gave David, because of the anointing and because of the grace on his life, and because David listened to God and spent time waiting upon him, he knew how to defeat the enemy in two different ways. You can read about it, and I encourage you to do it. Make a note of that, 2 Samuel chapter 5. Just read it through, because you'll find that the same way that the enemy attacked David and then Israel, because David was working under that grace and anointing, he was able to defeat the enemy by seeking the heart and the mind of God and listening to his voice and then doing what God instructed him to do. And this is what God loved about David. It says that David had a heart after God. That meant he had a heart that was akin to God. He didn't get everything right. He fell into sin. He got things wrong. But his heart, basically his heart was good before God most of the time. And God from heaven, despite his sinfulness and his errors that cost a lot, despite that, God says he's a man after my own heart. God looks at your heart this morning. Don't worry about what anyone else thinks. God sees your heart. And he looks into your heart. Let him search out your heart too, because he'll only speak words of life to you. Even if there's things that need correcting, he'll speak words of life right into your heart.
Amen.
And God wants us to spend time listening to his voice. And let me just tell you, that because this is for some people here this morning, you can hear God speak to you. It's the enemy that says you can't. You have an inability to hear God. No, you can. Everyone in this room is born again. You can hear God speak to you. There's a grace and anointing for all of us as believers to hear the voice of God. Open up your Bible and hear him speak to you. Just start reading God's word. He'll start speaking to you. I mean, really speak to you. Straight out of that word.
Amen.
It's the best place to hear God speak. Right out of the Bible.
Amen.
Read loads of it. It sharpens your ears up to hear him. When you're driving to work, when you're in a difficult situation and you haven't got your Bible on you, perhaps. But what it does, by reading lots of the Word of God, it sharpens you up, and God will use the Word that you've deposited in your spirit and in your mind and in your heart, and you'll be able to draw from that Word, and you'll hear God speak to you again and again and again and again. And the best prophecies I've heard of God, even Jesus appearing in a vision, speaking to people, that the most powerful words that God has spoken have come right out of the Bible.
Amen.
I know men of God who've had the Lord appear to them, and when he spoke, he actually spoke words right out of here. It's great, isn't it? This is why it's so important that this is God's written word, but God will speak to you directly about your particular circumstances that you're in and your situation. God wants to speak to you. And so we need to be men and women who inquire of God to hear his voice. As you seek after God, you'll find there's a grace and anointing to do what he says, and you can defeat the enemy. If any of you this morning are feeling like tired, there's an advert, isn't it? It says, tired, worn out, weary. What else does it say? It's about having bad headaches and
drained.
There's a remedy. And the remedy, if you're spiritually speaking, if you're like that this morning, if you're tired, weary, feel like giving up, guess where that came from? You need to fight back. You need to come back now under the grace.
Yes.
This is a grace that will enable you to stand up against that attack and persevere and break through.
Amen. Yes.
Break through. Again, in 2 Samuel 5, you read that the Lord enabled David to have it. It says that the Lord came to his aid, and because he obeyed God's instructions, God actually defeated the enemy, not through his own efforts, but God defeated the enemy.
And God came through like a breakthrough of waters, it says. Amen. Read it 2 Samuel 5. God wants to give some of you here this morning a breakthrough. A breakthrough perhaps mentally, a breakthrough in your heart, a breakthrough in your mind, perhaps a breakthrough in your finances, maybe a breakthrough in other areas of your life. He wants to give every one of us breakthroughs.
Amen.
Because he's a breakthrough Lord.
Amen.
He's the Lord of the breakthrough.
Amen.
And he has breakthroughs in mind for you this morning.
Amen.
He wants breakthrough for you. He wants breakthrough for us.
Amen.
In every department of our lives.
Amen.
And we must refuse to accept things as just as they are.
Amen.
We have to have this determined faith that comes from God to say, I'm not having this. And we're going to press through. And the Lord is the Lord of breakthrough. He will enable us to break through. Because the Lord is the breakthrough of many waters.
Amen.
He'll give us, by his grace and anointing, he will give us the breakthroughs that we need in our personal lives and for us as a church, what God's called us to do as a church. Do you agree?
Amen.
Just say out loud, the Lord, is the Lord of the breakthrough.
He's the Lord of the breakthrough.
He's the Lord of the breakthrough for me.
Lord of the breakthrough for me.
And he's the Lord of the breakthrough for the church.
And he's the Lord of the breakthrough for the church.
Amen. I trust you believe that.
Amen.
Because it's true. It's very true. Now Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Do you remember, those of you that were here last week, we read this out. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. So we've been anointed, right?
Amen.
And we've been anointed for a purpose. So the Lord has anointed us for a purpose. And the purpose here is to proclaim or to preach the good news to the poor. So you haven't got to go very far to take that anointing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. We are surrounded today by brokenhearted people. Their lives are broken. They're broken because of sin, because of habits, because of things that they've done or things that have been done to them. But we have people who are brokenhearted, and those broken hearts only God can heal. But he wants to use you, and he wants to use me to heal them. How are we going to do it? By the grace anointing that God has given to us.
Amen.
You see, the anointing of the Holy Spirit isn't just to make us feel good, or to make us have a shiver down our spine every now and again, or to give us a great dream or a great vision. The reason we've been given the Spirit's anointing is to carry the grace anointing to those that don't know him and to those that do, and minister the life of God into their lives.
Amen.
It's all about giving. And the whole point about this grace anointing is God has given it to you so that as you receive it and live out of it, you can give it away to others.
Amen.
And it's very, very powerful. He has sent us to proclaim freedom to the captives. So you've been entrusted with these things to declare the good news about Jesus, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to those who are in their prisons and are captive, the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And that covers everything. That covers every demonic stronghold. That covers sickness. That covers the lot. And the Holy Spirit says, I've anointed you. I've anointed you. Every one of you this morning we have that anointing. Sometimes God has to come and refill us. Sometimes God has to stir up that anointing and come again upon us. But we have that anointing upon our lives this morning. We have got a grace anointing to fulfill the calling of God on our lives. And every one of us has a very specific, mapped out plan that God has for us.
Amen.
He has a blueprint in heaven, and he wants to speak it into our lives so that we begin to catch a vision of what that vision is for our lives and begin to move in that phase of anointing. And as we move in that phase of anointing, as we're obedient in it, God will say, it's time for you to move up. I'm going to give you some more influence. I'm going to give you more territory. As we draw from that grace and that anointing, we move into a bigger area for God. God makes us bigger in the Spirit. God makes us bigger in our faith. And he can therefore entrust us with more.
Amen.
Does this make sense?
Amen.
And verse 2 says, it's time to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The year of the Lord's grace. The year of the Lord's favor. And I believe that, you know, God is saying to the church, not just us as a church, but he's saying to us, it's time to press into that favor. It's time to press into that grace and receive of that grace that God gives to us. It's almost like the Lord coming up to us, he says, take hold of me. And as we take hold of God, really take hold of him in our faith, It's like we get really bound together with his presence. It's like his spirit, the anointing, saturates us. That's what it means to press into the Lord. Is don't be distracted by what's going on around you. Seek God. Get into that place with God. Let his presence touch you. Don't let go until you get something from God. Have a determination. Have a faith that God's going to speak with you. He's going to meet with you. He's going to give you directions that you need for your life. He's going to give you answers to your problems.
Amen.
He's going to make a way where there is no way. There's a grace and anointing for you to develop you as a believer, as a child of God.
Amen.
And he's got a purpose for us to work together in this church with that grace and with that anointing. Amen.
Amen.
So it's a year of the Lord's favor. And you know, there's many people who, every time, like David was resisted by an army that tried to stop him from taking his territory. And at that point, he could have given up. He could have got weary. They could have given up. But because of his anointing, because of the grace on his life, he took time with God, and then he made plans in God and defeated the enemy. And the same is true for you. The same is true for us as a body. That we have to seek God, get into that place with him, and God will give us the breakthrough that we need. Amen.
Amen.
So if you're hitting a time of tiredness or weariness, or just sometimes you just feel like giving up, that's a sign that you're onto something. It's not necessarily that you're doing anything wrong. Sometimes this can be a direct attack to stop you in your tracks, to stop you from going on with God, from possessing those things that God has given to you. So if you feel like that, just ask yourself the question, where's this come from? And you'll recognize it's the enemy trying to stop you in your faith. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's a work of the enemy. But hang on, but Jesus, I'll come back to you in a minute, Jesus is saying that I have come that you might have life, and have it in more abundance. There's an abundance that God is wanting to pour out. But I've discovered that abundance doesn't just flow from heaven just by sitting back and doing nothing. It actually doesn't. By being passive, nothing will happen. What we have to do is we have to press ourselves into God and take hold of God. And as we take hold of God, we'll get the answers that we need.
Amen.
And we'll have that release that we need to actually break down the enemy's strategies against us. So it's not necessary. It can be things that we're doing wrong. We can come under attack. But we can also come under a resistance of the enemy, because he wants to stop churches from moving on. He wants to stop you from gaining that territory that God has for you, that God's spoken over your life. And so we have to rise up in faith. Amen?
Amen.
We have to take the grace, receive that grace anointing afresh, and that anointing, that grace anointing that is for us. And God will enable us to break through. Now, let's just look at a couple more scriptures. Are you ready for this? Are you still with me?
Amen.
This, we're talking about God's grace anointing upon our lives today and upon us as a church. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Well, we had a leaders meeting the other evening. I was just shared a few verses from these few scriptures here, because what we know about the early church is that the grace of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit was upon a people, the early church. They were moving in the things of the Spirit of God in a very powerful way. Everything about their life was full of this grace and full of this anointing. And that's why they had such rich prayer lives. That's why there was so much prayer going on. That's why they met together so much. That's why they couldn't be stopped from meeting in one another's homes and sharing food and meals together and having fun, is because the grace of God had so worked in them that it wasn't just a cultural thing that they were doing, it was a kingdom thing.
Amen.
That they were doing.
Amen.
God's grace had so worked in them that the life of Jesus working in a group of people called the early church was being so activated that what was being released out of the early church was thousands of people being saved. And thousands of people being healed, and miracles and signs and wonders demonstrating God's kingdom. They were living under a grace. They were living in a grace, in the grace of God. They were living in the anointing. And I dare to believe that, and I'm sure you do too, that we can live in the same grace.
Amen.
That we can live in under that same anointing that the early church had. Amen.
Amen.
And more besides too. Now God hasn't left. You know, there's a scripture that says, in fact, Jesus did it when he turned water into wine. He kept the best till last. I believe that in the church, in the last days,
that the best wine has been kept till last. There's a greater anointing of the Holy Spirit that God is pouring out for his church. And if we'll receive that grace and learn how to take that grace, put our faith in his grace, that divine favor and love and power will enable us under that anointing to do his work. And it says here in, let's just read at verse 32, Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of, what does it say? One heart. Can we just say that together? One heart. Say it again. One heart. This was the early church. They have one heart. And they were of one mind or one soul. They were of one mind, one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was just his own, but they had all things in common. That meant that they shared what they had with one another. And with great, what does it say there? Power. Great power. This is a key word. The apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. How did he do that? How did they do that? Sorry, Kelly, I didn't quite catch
that.
Grace. Yeah. This great... I didn't understand the Irish, sorry. God's great grace, that's right. This power was because of the grace of God. But what did this grace and power do? What did it actually do? What was the result? They united together. And what did it do? It equipped them to do what? Signs and wonders. To testify to Jesus and to release signs and wonders. Like the miracle, like Barbara's miracle that we heard about this morning. Those were happening all the time. They were everyday happenings. People were being saved every day because there was a level of anointing that the Lord had brought the church into. And with great power, the apostles gave witness. Verse 34, nor was there any... Oh, sorry, at the end of verse 33. And great... What does it say there? Great grace was upon them all. Great grace. Just say it. Just say great grace. Say it again. I tell you, God is saying to me there's a great grace that he's releasing into the church right now.
Amen.
There's a great grace that he's delivering or he's releasing to the church.
Amen.
Because we're going to need it. We need the great grace of God.
Amen.
And this phrase, great grace, in the Greek, it literally means, I scribbled it down to make sure I got it right, it literally means the operation of God's power. The operations of God's power. So this great grace was given to the early church. This anointing was given to the early church and is given to us so that we might release the operations of God's power.
Amen.
Amen. God has given to you this morning great grace. I believe this with all my heart, that God is giving to the church great grace. We're not living in the fullness of it at the moment, but there's a great grace that is available to us that God is pouring out into the church. And as we take hold of it, it's for the operations of God's power. It's to set the captives free. It's to see deliverance. It's to see our own lives in freedom and to see others as well in all kinds of ways. And it goes on to say, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. This is what the grace anointing did. It worked out practically in people's lives. For all who were possessors of lands or houses, they had extra lands or they had extra houses, they sold them and bought the proceeds of these things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And then the leaders of the church, they then distributed to everyone who had need. So there was no needy ones amongst them. Great grace.
Amen.
The operations of God's power. And just come with me to Acts chapter 11, please. Acts 11. I don't know if you make notes when I'm preaching the word or someone else is preaching the word, but it's always a good habit to write down scriptures and key points. No point in writing everything that I say down, but write down the key things that God spoke to you about. Just the key things that he said, because you'll find it very useful and very, very handy to then reflect and read and meditate on these scriptures later on. And you can also grab a CD if you wanted to listen to it some more, hand it to a friend to encourage them. But this is in Acts 11, verse 21. It says, and the hand of the Lord was with them. This was the scattered church now. They've been persecuted. And a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So they were being persecuted because of the anointing, right? But the, as they got scattered, what they did is they carried that anointing out where they went.
Yeah.
And they couldn't be stopped. There's something unstoppable about God's anointing.
Amen.
You can't stop it. You can't shut it up, because the anointing of the Spirit upon the early church broke through. And wherever they got scattered and got sent by God, really, through the persecution, it says the hand of the Lord was with them. That meant his grace was over them. And a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, so this grace of God, the same term is used here about the great grace that we read about just now. This is the great grace of God that could be seen. It could be seen because of the operation of God's power. So it wasn't just words, but it was power with the words. The word of God.
Amen.
And God says, this is the great grace that I want to see released in my church, so that you see great, wonderful operations of God's power in your own life and in the life of the church.
Amen.
And it says that this grace of God could be seen. When he came, he saw the grace of God, he was glad, and encouraged them all that were that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's just turn back to... I'm going to finish on this scripture. And in Zechariah, which is in the Old Testament, right at the end of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 4, and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. God is releasing grace and anointing to you today.
Amen.
Amen. He's wanting to release grace and anointing in your life today.
Thank you, Lord.
He's wanting to release grace and anointing in the church today.
Amen.
To do his will.
Amen.
And it says here in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Now Zerubbabel was with Joshua, were leaders in Israel at this time, and they were... Their purpose was to rebuild the temple, and they were hitting resistance, all right? They were being stopped in their tracks. They were probably being discouraged, because it had taken a number of years now, 12 years, and they still hadn't really got that far. And this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by human energy, not by human power, right? I'm just putting it the way it means. But by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. This word grace is a very important word for the church right now. This great grace God is supplying to us because of what Jesus has done for us. He has called us by his grace. He saved us by his grace. And he wants us to learn how to live in his grace.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace.
Amen.
And as we put our faith in this grace that is available to us in our lives today, and we're going to pray for some people in a minute, as God releases this grace,
Amen.
God wants to give us breakthroughs.
Amen.
God wants to give each one of us breakthroughs.
Thank you, Jesus.
He wants to give us as a church breakthrough.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
So that we are reaching people that don't know him and seeing them get saved.
Amen. Yes.
We're seeing notable acts of God's power, operations of his power. And this is this great grace. This is the same grace that we read about in the Old Testament. It was in the Old. It wasn't hidden away. It was in the Old Testament too. But it's revealed fully in the New Testament because
Amen.
Of what Jesus has done. And it says that we're not to do anything by our human energy, not by effort or by our own power, but by the Spirit. And as we do this, the Holy Spirit is going to release and is releasing grace and great grace at that for our lives so that we can have the breakthrough. Every mountain, if you face a mountain today, and this morning as I was praying, and I had this last week as well when I was praying, I could see different people had mountains that were stuck right in front of their noses. And they couldn't see beyond the mountain. The Lord says, you know what the word says about mountains? Speak to your mountain.
And it will move.
Command it to be moved in the name of Jesus.
And it will move.
And it will move and be cast into the sea. Speak to your mountain. With the authority of God's word.
Amen.
And then shouts of grace. It says here that the mountain will be made like a plain. God's going to make the mountains and the obstacles like a plain. He's going to flatten them. And he will bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace, grace to it. Amen.
Amen.
God is speaking grace over your life today. He wants to encourage you today that His grace anointing is given to you for you to, like David, enter into a time where you have authority, where you have influence, where you take territory, where you release God's power by His grace, and you begin to have victory. And as you see those victories, God will enlarge you. God will enlarge what He's given you to
Thank
do.
You, Lord.
I see God actually enlarging us as a church. I see us being multiplied by His grace.
Amen.
I see the work multiplying by the grace of God.
Amen.
I see mountains being destroyed this morning and being demolished.
Yes.
I see God's great grace coming upon us as a people. And us having testimonies on Sunday mornings and other times in the week of people who have been saved and miracles and signs and wonders and tremendous victories and freedom that's coming into people's lives,
Amen.
Demonstrating the work of God's kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. Do you see that? Do you believe for that? Let's all stand, shall we? Let's stand to our feet.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We're going to worship with that song that we sang earlier about that last one we sang. Alpha, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Just be still before the Lord. Just lift your hands before the Lord this morning. Just close your eyes and lift your hands before the Lord. Take His rightful place.
Yes.
Nothing is too difficult for Him.
Yes. Yes.
Nothing is too difficult for Him.
Yes.
Only is Jesus to turn up and everything changes.
Yes.
He is the Lord of the breakthrough.
Amen.
And He gives you today grace.
Thank you, Lord.
And He's wanting to release great grace in these weeks, these months ahead. He's wanting to release great grace upon the church. As we press into God, as we literally press in there and take hold of Him, seek His face and listen to His voice, we'll find the freedom and the anointing and the grace, not just for ourselves, but to use what He gives to us to give to others. This is really what it's all about. It's for us to be free and then to give that freedom away to others.
Omega, begin.